Amen. Thank you, Father. We thank you for those words. Now, who here, I mean, on a serious note, I mean, when you talk about making fun of somebody, sounds so light, sounds like a kid, but it's very serious. But who here likes to be, enjoy to be made fun of? You're going to go, man. But it was, looking at these scriptures today, changed my mind that I should be looking back and go, are people making fun of me? And if they're not, maybe I'm blending in. Because Yahweh has called us to be a peculiar people. Very weird. Very unusual looking at them. And I was reading Smith Wigglesworth, and he says, Yahweh wants you to become an adult spiritually. But your flesh, he wants you to become babes. Yahweh doesn't need this. And he was explaining, you've got to become like an infant, like Jesus Christ has become like one of these babes. And he's explaining, as I was reading Smith Wigglesworth, he knows a little bit about power, right? Yeah. He goes, there's a reason why, now these are my own words with Smith. He goes, the day of Pentecost, they started speaking in tongues. They immediately were made fun of. That's weird. Why would you speak a different language? Why don't you just have fire come down out of heaven? Why don't you just give them a sign or something? Why did you do this? And as I read that, it made me think of an initiation almost. You want to be in? You want to get in? And some people, when I was a Shriner for business purposes, there were people that had been waiting years to become a part of the Shriner to get, and they studied and all this stuff. I could care less. I didn't want to be there. But I felt like I was supposed to be there at the time. But they did ridiculous, foolish things just to become a Shriner. And they looked at me, and I laughed at this stuff, and they're like, and you could tell, they're like, maybe you shouldn't be one of the other people. And I shouldn't have been. But with Yahweh, He wants you to be a fool for Him. So people look at you so that He can lift you up. Yahweh against the haughty, He arrayeth Himself. You get cocky, I'm blending in. Look at me. Look at how much money I got. Look at my house. Look how many people follow me. And Dad said something, he talked about Gladys Aylward and some of these other people. He goes, well, how many Christians would want to change places with her? Well, how many people would like to change places with Kenneth Copeland? I like a couple of jets. Yeah. I'd like to be Creflo Dollar. Now, they do good things. But you're going to go, they are not choosing the path of most resistance. And they're going to go, but hey, Jesus... Sorry, I'm going off on... I think it's President Trump. But anyways, I'm going to start off Jeremiah chapter 20. But this is going to be for my own self. As I was reading this, going, I should be looking to go, are people making funny? And there was a guy that I was mentoring somewhat. Met him in gym. I gave him a prophecy. He was an unbeliever, possibly saved. But he was liking scriptures and stuff that I was posting. And then he started mocking people that were speaking in tongues and stuff, his collar. And I reproved him. And I go, I don't agree with what they're doing. It's this Holy Spirit way. He was mocking. I said, I don't agree with what they're doing. But I said, I guarantee you one thing. God forbid, if your son starts dying of cancer and he got 3 days to live, you're going to be going to one of these people you're mocking. And he came back. That really irritated him. And then I said something else, and then he mocked me again about Christians are just about money. And then I sent him something else, and this is over like a month period. And I showed how much money was like, I don't know, people in Dubai were giving Clinton and all this other stuff. I showed, maybe you should be making fun of their money instead of what the Christians are doing wrong. You know, kind of like that. He goes, Kenneth Copeland gets all my money. And I responded, nobody gets your money. Not even thinking, but he was pissed. He was so upset. F you, F this, right on public, everything. He was so upset, and I struck a nerve. And the point of all this was not that, but I really upset him. I apologized. I did not mean to. You don't give money to any churches. You mock churches. And he came back, and he goes, you and you're speaking in tongues, your stupid tongue, this and that. I was getting made fun of. Now, that was a mistake. But that was the only thing I could think of, somebody recently mocking me. And I go, okay, not that we want to be mocked, but it could be, hey, when was the last time? If anybody knows about getting mocked, he's right there. Yeah. Can I go, how many, and mocked by whom? The pastors won't even say their creator's name. If you say Yahweh's name, and you say these things, and if you don't bow down to these three gods, you're out.
Yeah.
And guess what they're going to do? They're going to mock you. But that, absolutely. Jeremiah chapter 20. If somebody would read, Mom, would you read the context right above chapter 20?
Jeremiah is smitten and put in the stocks by Pashur, priest and overseer of the temple. Next day, when set free, he boldly denounces Pashur, naming him a terror round about and dooming him to be carried captive to Babylon. Then his mind recoils, especially when he finds himself laughed at and nicknamed by the people. He resolves to be silent and cannot. Finally, in full Oriental style, he curses the day he was born.
This is a prophet. So you people that think they're prophets, is this where you are? What does he do? Man, he's in the stocks. He calls the guy out. He tries to be silent. They make fun of him. This is Jeremiah. And he had a forehead of what?
Flint.
Flint. And Yahweh said, I've created you. This is a special, actual person who was created from like the womb for something. And he's going to slice through this stuff. Did he have an easy job? No.
Yeah.
What do they do to him? Verse 7. Dad, would you read that?
Thou didst persuade me, O Yahweh, and I was persuaded. Thou didst lay firm hold on me and didst prevail. I have become a mockery all the day. Everyone is laughing at me.
Can you? Any of us relate to that? Maybe not scripturally, but have you ever been mocked in school? People mocking you and laughing at you?
Yep.
When I was in getting bussed to fourth grade or something, I had my hair nice, nice shirt on. I thought I looked good. Got on the bus, ready to take the world, and I got on the bus. She goes, oh, look, it's Skin and Bones. This girl mocks me. I can't do anything about my weight. Crush me.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, Skin and Bones, man? I didn't do anything. I try to eat more than my brother. 2 years later, I'm in sixth grade. The same type of people, do you know what they said to mock me? He's on steroids. What's the thing? They're going to mock you. And so all the thing was just mocking. But I remember those things. But here's Jeremiah. What is the adversary? Who are the hands and feet of the religious people? Who's behind Obama, Biden? Who's behind George Soros, Facebook, Twitter? Who's behind Iran, China? Who's behind all this stuff that's mocking Christians? Who's behind Conan O'Brien, late night TV? Who's behind all this stuff? The same sucker. Ha! Eating dust! Because it said all the days of your life you're going to be eating dust, the adversary. Well, we're looking, going to go, caught you. But what is Jeremiah? Jeremiah's going to say, just look at the next page. If this wasn't going to be a part of the teaching, verse 14. How does Jeremiah feel?
Terrible.
Accursed be the day in which I was born, the day in which my mother bore me. Let it not be blessed. Go down to verse 17. Because I was not slain from the womb, nor did my mother become my grave, nor was her womb great forever. This guy's in the pit, but being mocked is on top of all of it. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. So we're just going to look at different. We're going to evaluate and look at the evidence of our wicked adversary who never sleeps. And do you blend in? Does he leave you alone? Oh, no. He's never going to leave you alone. And then we got our adversary, then we got our flesh. Nehemiah chapter 4.
4.
Let's see. 42.
Oh, the other one.
Wendy.
I know.
She's in the New Testament.
Well, neat thing about the book of Nehemiah.
It's her glasses, Dad. It's her glasses.
What chapter?
Page 481. Vicinity. Nehemiah, who was he? Because he's going to get mocked. And if you read, do you know who he was? He's a businessman. He's a cupbearer.
To the king.
Didn't go to seminary. Didn't go to Dallas Seminary. Didn't go to that seminary. Didn't go to this seminary. Who is he? He's a businessman. He goes in. And you know what he's going to do to these Jews? He's going to grab by their beards. Yanking them out. And do you know what else he's going to do? He's going to take the religious people in front of him and go, you give a vow now. Who do you think you are, Chuck Cunningham, to say these things? How can you say my Bible's not, my English Bible's deceptive? How could you do these? And we're going to find out by making these stances, there's other people that are watching. And we're going to, and I'm going to use one of these examples. That some of the times when we're being made fun of, and it's not that we want to be made fun of, but we should be getting stood out. And if we're a threat, the adversary is going to be making fun of us. But here's Nehemiah. Who is this guy? Here's he in the temple grabbing people by the beards. Holy moly. I think he's ripping some of the beards out of their face too.
Nehemiah, what?
And he's the hands and feet of Yahweh.
Yeah.
But if you read right above chapter 4, I'll go back to chapter 4. That if you read the introduction on that or whatever.
The sarcasm of Sanballat and Tobiah opposes thy prayer.
Sarcasm. Could be mocked. Yeah. Now we're going to turn. Let me see here. Nehemiah 4 verse. Verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside himself.
Beside him.
And so they're going to rebuild the wall. This is after Jerusalem. So Ezra was really came after Nehemiah. They would have built the wall first, then they would have built the temple. They're building the wall, and these guys are unbelievers. And what are they going to do? Tobiah and Ammonite was beside him. So he said, even that which they are building, if a fox should go up, he will break it down, their stone wall. The stone wall is to keep people out. It's not going to keep a fox out. Why did he say that? Who cares? Yahweh cares. And Yahweh's given you a warning and me a warning. This hurt. It was effective to an extent. Didn't stop it. But man, there's a reason why he's showing this stuff. He's going to go, I think I've heard stories about you being mocked and made fun of. And guy talked about being raised up, traveling around different schools and people beating him up and picking on being mocked. I just want to blend in. All of us just want to blend in. Maybe not all of us. I shouldn't be speaking absolutes. Let me see here. I was going to read a little bit more. Let me see here.
Yeah, 4:1 is really good.
Okay, go ahead.
It came to pass when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, it angered him, and he was greatly displeased and mocked the Jews.
That was it, yeah. So that is 4:1-3. So yeah, just, thank you for catching that. So what did he do? So what? It's not a so what. Yahweh put things in there for us to learn and going to go, this is some serious stuff. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to come all the way back. We're going to take a big right and we're going to take a big left. I wanted to get it chronological, but I think I was stopped from doing so. Acts chapter 2, so we have Jeremiah, we have Nehemiah. Now the book of Acts, here's Jesus Christ's mom and the 120 are waiting for the promise. The last time they were in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ is murdered. There's their Savior. He goes, go here and wait. They see the cloven tongues of fire. They start speaking in tongues. There's now 120 Ark of the Covenants through Christ Jesus, cloned. The Jews would have known what a fire, what fire symbolized. This is Yahweh. Here it is. And what's the first thing he does in verse 13 when I say he?
Chapter
the adversary.
What?
So the teaching is being made fun of. The adversary is going to stop you from being you. He's going to mock you. He's going to make fun of you. Blend in. Don't talk about speaking in tongues. Don't say Yahweh. Ron Cooper's okay. But not in public. Don't talk loud in the classroom. This other stuff. Keep it in the closet. And when I say that, that was me. I was a closet Christian. I don't know. I think Donna was more out. But the only people that really knew about the word and what I believe were my very close friends. I just wanted to blend in. I didn't want to get picked on. I was trying to survive high school.
Amen.
In my mind. If I could have done it all over again, man, it'd be a revolution. I would have done things different, but can't change that. But in verse 13, did somebody read that?
What chapter?
Chapter 2.
Well, others in mockery were saying, with sweet wine are they drunken?
They're drunk. So what? Man, that hurt. Melania, you need to be ready. You kids, because you're in the crucible of being conformed to this age. When I was your age, when I was around my family and I was around fellowship, I was one person. But when I was at school, I was blending in. And I was good at it. And that's why public school, and I talk to people, they say, I don't like homeschool because their people skills, this and that. And I go, and I grabbed somebody by their shirt once, and I said, I was the most popular person in my high school. Overrated, it's garbage. Blending in will kill you. Teach somebody fundamentals, and don't give me this crap about blending in. It will kill you. Do what the world wants you to do. Hey, if you're lucky, you do what the world wants you to do, you can become like Robin Williams or Michael Jackson. They kill themselves. Yeah, that's the way of the world. You don't want that. And so, yeah. But being mocked. And so this is supposed to be hopefully be helping the young people to be better than I was as a teenager. Don't be a sissy. Be ready to get mocked. And know when you get mocked for Jesus Christ's sake, guess what Christ does? That one right there. Because here was me. Well, we found out that Yahweh, there's a name. It's not the Lord. I'm going off on tangents. It wasn't the teaching. We're going to pick on me again. Dad, come home. Dad's saying, Yahweh this, Yahweh that, Yahweh. What the heck is this Yahweh stuff? Nobody says it. Nobody says it.
Yeah.
How can this be? And then Dad proves it. I didn't want to change. You know why? Nobody says it. Nobody says it. And do you know what was? As I was looking at this, and I was mad at him. Come on, life's so hard. Just want to blend in. Come on, man. Trying to be cool. Do you know what happened? When I was mocked, I was mocking Yahweh's name because I didn't want it. Aaron, are you ashamed of me? And I went, because the scripture says, if you're ashamed of me, what will happen?
You'll be ashamed.
If you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. And that doesn't mean you're going to be completely disowned. But no, I need some help here. Oh, really? You need some help? No. You didn't stick up for that girl who's getting picked on. I'll call you later. You're sitting there going, oh! Hopefully that's not going to be the case, but I was ashamed. They go, okay. Matthew 10:32. If you're ashamed of him, he'll go back to Genesis chapter 19. I used to see there's a great children's book. It was Noah, and it showed Noah building this box. And you know what all the people are doing around him?
Laughing,
mocking, being humiliated. Ha 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 ha! You will see that even today on Facebook and stuff. You want a good example about mockery? Don't wear a mask. Mm-hmm. Put a Trump bumper sticker on your car. The majority of this country voted for him, but if you put it on, you know what's going to happen?
You'll be mocked.
Mm-hmm. People make fun of you. You're going to go, I don't want to be mocked. I want to be blended in. And that's natural, all of us. And there's times to blend in. But there's other stuff. We've got to say, are you a sissy? Are you a coward, Aaron Cunningham? You act like a tough guy at the gym and stuff, but you won't wear a Trump thing? You're kind of calling me out here. But Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. Would somebody read that for me?
And Lot went forth and spake unto his sons-in-law, who were about to take his two daughters, and said, Arise, come forth out of this place, for Yahweh is about to destroy the city. And it came to pass that he was as one that laughed in the eyes of his son-in-law.
So we have to look up that to see what the idiom is, because Rotham will preserve unusual. I have not looked at it, but put a footnote. But he was as one as laughed. What happened next? This is important. Lot's trying to save his future son-in-laws, right? They mock him. They mocked his God. Oh, whatever. What happens next? Verse 15.
As soon as the dawn had sprung up,
Lot got ready and took off. No. What happens?
The messengers hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters.
It appeared that Lot didn't want to go. He probably worried. It didn't say Lot goes, okay, you're on your own. You've been warned. But it looks like the messenger goes, we got to get out. But here they mocked him. Another mockery. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. And we could do this. It's a good thing for Elijah, Isaiah, for anybody. You talk to people. And it's kind of like priming a pump. Say, hey, Cooper. Hey, Cole. When was the last time somebody made fun of you publicly for being a Christian? And what's that supposed to mean? It's just a good question. Not that we want to be made fun of publicly, but are we blending in? Are we not blending? And you start thinking, and because the thought is all of us is blending, I want it to blend in. But if we're not blending in and we're a threat, guess what happens? It could be mocked. It could be other things too. Would somebody read verse 11, chapter 14, verse 11? Oh, actually, before we read that, we'll read the kind of give you an idea. So what we just read about with Lot, Yahweh's getting ready to destroy Sodom. Now over here, when you read right above chapter 14. Dad, would you do that?
Verse 23?
No, it's going to be 1 Samuel chapter 14, but if you'd read right above what's on the...
There's nothing above it.
Oh, it's 13, excuse me. Right above 13 is going to give us the context of the story.
Saul quails before the Philistines. Jonathan and Saul drive them out of the land, and Saul's kingdom is for a time established.
Okay. And so, okay, now read verse 11.
Of 13 or 14?
14, sorry.
So they too discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, "Lo, Hebrews coming forth out of the holes wherein they had hidden themselves."
Where are the Hebrews? And what's in? I put a footnote here because this is what Gideon. It says with Gideon, with the Midianites, they were living in holes and in caves and stuff like this. And at this point, this is before they really start whooping the Philistines. They're being mocked. Oh, they're living in holes. And oh, come on up here. But another example of apostle mockery. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. King David and Goliath, or David and Goliath. Goliath in verse 8 is insulting Yahweh as if Yahweh's not there. He's insulting Yahweh in front of all of his men. Can you imagine somebody doing this to David in front of all of his men? Who is David? Here's the rest of the stuff going to go. His mighty men be like, you want me to kill him? Nope. When people like Biden, Pelosi, Kamala are mocking Yahweh in front of his men and in front of his son, what do you think these angels are doing? Say when, boss. Say when. Tick tock, these little fruit flies, they'll be gone. So Yahweh's sitting, he's slow to anger. He's watching these things. They're mocking him. But here's Goliath. He's mocking Yahweh. And we're going to go on. We're going to flip the page of King David to verse 42.
What chapter?
It's the same chapter, 17. Yeah. Did somebody read that?
And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was youth and ruddy and stripping of fair countenance.
The Hebrew word for disdain means to be laughed at. No, I wrote it down. I forget what it means. But it's mocking him again. One of the things that really stirred up being mocked at in this teaching was I was talking to one of my clients yesterday, and he's a nice believer. And do you know what he did? He repeated the same theme of almost every Christian these days. Just turn in your guns, turn in your swords, Christ is coming back, it's over. Has anybody else heard some of this stuff?
No.
Are you talking to other believers? A lot of the believers I'm talking to, you're going to talk to, can you believe what's happening? That this is happening? And they just surrender. Christ is coming back. And here's this whole thing. And I had to turn it back as I was talking to him, and Yahweh gave me a pep talk through him. We got to confront people. We got to be assertive to go tell people, because faith is contagious. So is unbelief. And I heard a speech about Ronald Reagan, this guy who knew Ronald Reagan, his name was Rosebush, I think. Thornbush, Rosebush. He was a part of his administration. He said he had a gift of projecting his optimism. Ronald Reagan could look at a group of people and he could project optimism and make them optimistic. So can we. And we need to project our optimism to go, they're not mocking you and me. They're mocking our Creator. Well, you don't understand. We got the DOJ. We got the Justice Department against us. We have cowards in the Supreme Court for the most part. Mike Pence caved. The North Dakota governor caved or whatever. All this stuff's caved. And you're going to go, who cares? Not who cares. Doesn't matter. Just it's too bad. Mm-hmm. But I go, Yahweh, what did David see? David saw you were mocking Yahweh in front of the hosts? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You think you're going to get away with this? Well, you don't understand, David. The Philistines got the DOJ. The Philistines got the FBI. And so it turned into a pep talk. And I go, okay. Luke chapter 23. So these are other people being mocked. Now we're going to get some really serious mockery. Maybe page 89. Because who else was mocked? And what we see is the same fingerprints behind all this. Was it really Sanballat? Sennacherib? Was it really the scribes and the Pharisees? Was it really some of these other things that were going on? You know, was it really, you're going to look and the hands and feet of Christ are those who do His will. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. Well, we should have sung that. I've been wanting to do that for the kids. You're only on the rock if you're doing the word. The hand and feet of the adversary are those who do his will. And so mockery, mocking, mocking. And here's Yehoshua, chapter 23, verse 35. And moreover, and this is at the pinnacle of pain and suffering. How close is he to finishing this? Hours. He is so close to finishing his race. Does adversary go away? No. Christ endured the death of the cross. How? Okay. Hebrews 11, the joy that was set before him.
Despising the shame.
He despised the shame. He's going to be mocked. They're mocking him when? He's probably naked, been beaten, humiliated, and now they're mocking him. And how did he get through it? The resurrection, the resurrection, the resurrection. And Hebrews 11 says, how did Abraham do it? The resurrection. It was faith. Noah, how did he do it? How did Sarah do it? It was the resurrection. There was their hope. And here are Yehoshua. What's the adversary going to hit them with a hammer? Is he going to relent? Nope. Verse 35. Let me see here. Now there was an inscription also over him, the king of the Jews. This. And one of them suspended an evildoer began to defame him. Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. Is that mockery? I forgot to read it right above it. I skipped it. Sorry.
What verse are you in? I'm sorry.
I should have started at 35. I started at 36. Verse 35. And the people were standing looking on, but the rulers were sneering. Who are the rulers? The religious people. And the sneering, if you look at the Greek word, it's like, it's 1592. It's ekiturizo. It's to turn up the nose. You ever had that? Oh, man. Moreover, the soldiers also, what did they do? It says mocked. Strong's word, G1702. And this means, and this is where Mel Gibson just, I think he nailed it. Because it says to play with, to dance around. Mocking him and dancing and joking. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. And why did the adversary do it? Because it's effective. It's an effective thing. Didn't work with them. Is it going to work with you? Man, you know how many times I failed because I didn't want to get made fun of? Or if you're single, you want to blend in, I just want to date. I don't want to be weird. I want to be like everybody else. The path of least resistance. And then I'll eventually start talking about how weird I am later on. And to pick on myself again, I gotta go. Okay, I'm single. I want to date somebody. And so how do I do this? And so what I would do on any date that I've ever had within the last probably 10 years, whenever I meet a girl, I made a commitment and a covenant that I will give every one of them a prophecy. Why? Well, I know that's one way that I can help them. It's one way that I can deliver something from Yahweh to them, and they'll know immediately this guy's not the same. And if they don't like it, They leave.
Yeah.
But if they did like it, do you know how my heart rate feels with that, Elijah? You ever given a prophecy to a girl that you're on a date with? But the thing is, you can get the same adrenaline rush that you would get from other things, from your books, the stuff you're watching at TV late at night. You can get adrenaline rushes by doing stuff like that. Luke chapter 23, verse 35, I heard that. Or Matthew 27:39. Would somebody read that?
And they who were passing by were reviling him, shaking their heads, and saying, "The man that taketh down the temple in 3 days buildeth it. Save yourself. If thou art Yahweh's son, come down from the cross."
So, and they're shaking their heads. See the footnote there? You look at the bottom, Psalms. And there they're shaking their heads, mocking. Mark chapter 15. Do you think this hurt? Man. You ever had somebody take a sucker punch when you're taking one for the team? Yeah. You're like, man, today, really? Have you ever had that? I've had that. Somebody took a sucker punch after I was doing something. I'm like, hey, how about a little relief here? And he's like, I thought you were tougher than that, Aaron. Here's Yehoshua taking another one for the team. Oh, man, what's he doing? He's being asphyxiated. He's got to keep breathing. I can't die yet. Why? I'm the Passover lamb. 3 o'clock. I got the 3 o'clock. Would somebody read this next scripture? 27 through 33.
In chapter 15?
Yeah.
And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right hand and one on his left. And the passersby were reviling him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! Thou who hast pulled down the shrine and building one in 3 days, save thyself, coming down from the cross." Likewise, the high priest also, mocking one another with the scribes, was saying, "Others he saved, himself he cannot save. But Christ, the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they who had been crucified with him were casting it in his teeth.
Casting it in his teeth. Isn't that interesting? It's not the first time it says that. They're throwing it right in his teeth. I'll keep reading. And what happens right after this?
And when it was the 6th hour, darkness came on all the land until the 9th hour. And at the 9th hour, Yahushua uttered a cry with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being translated, my Elohim, to what end didst thou forsake me?"
So he quotes Psalms 22, right? At least with this scripture right here, they're mocking him. And what does Yahweh do? Lights out. What is light? Darkness is judgment. Egypt had judgment. Genesis 1:1, darkness, judgment. And here's the whole earth. And what's happening? Who are they mocking? You're not just mocking like Jeremiah. You're not mocking Noah. You're not mocking Moses. You're mocking Yahweh's son. And you're going to go, the wrath, the slow to anger. Turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21.
Remember chapter what?
Matthew 21.
Oh, I sorry.
Looking at this mocking. And, I'm not always in control of my mouth when I'm speaking and doing teachings and stuff. The point of me sharing this is not so you go, look at me, I'm being mocked for Yahweh. Look at me, I'm being mocked. That's not the case. But we should be actually, people be looking at things going, do people mock me? And maybe we don't know. But if you have Yahweh t-shirts, if you say Jesus is not God, or Jesus has a God, or you have a t-shirt that says Yahweh is Jesus God, people are going to look at that. Guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be talking. And the idea is going to be okay. Matthew chapter 21 verse 33, but we're going to kind of go back to the mocking of Yehoshua. Can you imagine? I'm thinking about the passion of the Christ being mocked. He's there for 6 hours, Dad. He had to hang on a cross for 6 hours, right? Yeah. After being beaten like that. After he carried the cross, he carried the cross for a little bit. He's just waiting to die, being mocked, spit at, all this horrible stuff. Now, verse 33, Matthew 21, 33. The fruit of the vineyard demanded. And so we don't have to read this. But in Matthew chapter 21, 33 through 34, Mark 12, 1 through 12, and Luke 20, chapter, verse 9 through 19, Jehoshua gave a parable. And he said, there was a man, a householder, who owned a vineyard. He leased it out to some people. He sent his son, or he sent somebody to go, hey, go get some of my fruit. They kill him, or beat him. The master sends another person, and they beat him again. Don't quote me exactly, it's just the concept. So finally he says, I'll send my son, they'll honor my son. What do they do to the son?
They slay him.
They murder his son and say, we will inherit this. And then Jesus Christ gives that parable, and then Christ says to his disciples, what's going to happen to them? You guys remember? And they say, he's going to destroy them. And so when we look at George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, all this garbage being mocked and attacking us, well, we're the majority. We're going to go, what's our father going to do to these people?
Could we destroy them?
Could it be like the parable of the vineyard and go, tick tock. I'm not overwhelmed, and that's what we got to go. They don't know who they're messing with. And maybe they do know who they're messing with. But it's a matter of time. You're going to get nuked. You think I'm overwhelmed? You think I'm going to quit? I got to give a prophecy to a guy down in Texas. Their daughter, dad and I got, we were at a hotel. It wasn't a coincidence. There's a guy next to us. And he goes, you're from Wichita? We started talking. He goes, I live in Wichita. Okay, what are you guys doing down here? The tournament. There's a tournament here? Yeah, there's the AAC tournament. And as we're sitting there, it turns out that he was born in Salina. We're in Fort Worth. And he says his daughter has ovarian cysts. It's very, I think, no, it's endometriosis. Really bad. Really, 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 really bad. And he was, anyway, we prayed for him. I got to give him a prophecy in front of his wife. Exchanged phone numbers. And he thanked me. He sent me all the stuff. And then you know what the prophecy was back to him? Healing belongs to you. It belongs to us. We can't control whether we win or lose. But when the enemy is at our door or adversity, we could be like those famous Texans when they're asked to surrender the cannon. What did they say?
Come take it.
Come and take it. Yeah. I said, you fight for your daughter and you tell the adversaries and the adversities, come and take it. That's what we are to do for Yahweh in this world. Come and take it. What if you don't win? I know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Because if I don't win, then at the resurrection, he'll say, you missed it. But man, what a way to go. Galatians chapter 6. One thing that I wanted to share as we're going there, Galatians chapter 6, we're kind of wrapping things up, was some of the stuff that with Dad's ministry and other stuff. Maybe people aren't going to mock him directly. And so I don't want to get out of control with that. But people should be able to look at us and go, they're very weird. You know, peculiar people. What is this speaking in tongues thing? What is this? They should be asking us. Because that really, what's this Yahweh stuff? And it opens up the doors, and there's people everywhere that are just scared to know the truth. Because they've been inculcated, they've been beat, get in line, blend in. What happens if people don't blend in at Mays High School? You ever see anybody get really made fun of? Picked on?
Yeah.
It's humiliating. I got to see some kids get picked on. And I turned it the other way around at high school. I started picking on the bullies. Not necessarily right. But you get to see people humiliated. And other kids watch that. And they're going, I don't want that to happen to me. And that's where we got to go. We go stick up for them. Anytime you need help, you talk to me. You got that? But people are watching, trying to blend in high school. The adversary is trying to get you guys at your age, blend in, Esther, at all costs, blend in, act like everybody else, and everything's going to be okay. No, it's not. You'll be enslaved. You'll become a slave. With some of these things, like Dad's teaching, the t-shirts, some of this other stuff that's happening with your guys' bumper stickers, is... There's a guy named Gamaliel in the book of Acts. What did Gamaliel say? Will you tell us about Gamaliel in Acts 4?
If it's of God, you can't overthrow it. counsel of God.
What were the religious people doing to the Christians? Or, I don't know if they're Christians. What were they doing to the disciples after they received the Holy Spirit?
Persecuting them. They're telling them to be silent.
Yeah. Be silent. What did they say?
Whether they listen to you or not, we're going to speak.
Okay.
What we see and hear.
Blend in. Blend in. Shut up. And here's a religious people, but who was watching?
Yahweh.
Gamaliel. Who was Gamaliel?
He was a
very prominent teacher because the Apostle Paul said he was brought up at his feet,
yeah,
watching. And what was going on in the other rooms? Did the disciples know about that conversation? Didn't necessarily know it. Yahweh knew about it. I wonder how many people in seminary and pastors are going, don't mock Yahweh's name. Don't mock speaking in tongues. And don't you dare do a teaching against speaking in tongues or Yahweh's name. And Gamaliel's are watching, go, you better shut your mouth, because if you're mocking Yahweh, you know what happens? He takes it really serious. Well, everybody knows. And you're going to say, how many Gamaliel's are out there right now because of our family and because of Talia's ministries? Galatians chapter 6, we'll wrap up there. Chapter 6, verse 7. Somebody would read that for me.
Be not deceiving yourselves. Yahweh is not to be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, the same shall he also reap.
Is Yahweh mocked?
No.
On the short line, people mock him every day. Look at Planned Parenthood. I was going to post something. I said it and somebody goes, you can't say that. I was going to say, it should be Babies R Us. Planned Parenthood is a chop shop for baby parts.
Yeah.
But you can't say anything about it. Yahweh's mocked everywhere. We got homosexuals. We got men dressing like women. If you don't blend in, we're going to beat you into it. You know, he's mocked on the short end. But this is where we can look at people and say, Yahweh's not going to be mocked. That which you sow, you'll reap. And what's nice is in verse 9 for all of us. Verse 9, would somebody read that for me?
And in doing that which is honorable, let us not be faint-hearted. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
We'll reap. And we can be like a Jeremiah. We can be like these other people. But we can also be ready to be mocked. And when they start making fun of us, we should be going, all right, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, why do they persecute you? You keep saying Yahweh. Matthew 5:10. All right. Why do they persecute you? You keep talking about speaking in tongues. All right, we get to build each other. I'm going to be mocked. It could be a really big compliment. And if we prep ourselves for that, guess what happens when it does happen? We could actually get, it's like having an anti-venom. I'm going to go, that's not working. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for these believers that are here. We thank you for Elijah's birthday. We thank you for these words that you have. In this world, you will have trouble. Through the scriptures that I have given you to you and I've warned you through my son, I've warned you there's difficulties, and there's a whole evil current, evil age surrounding you. Nevertheless, I tell you not to be a coward. Nevertheless, I tell you to rejoice and rejoice again. Nevertheless, I tell you to amplify your peace amidst all of it. You have a choice. You could be like a Haman hung, or you can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say, if I'm going down, I'm going down right. And as you do these things, I will stand and fight for you. For truly, I am outworking you on every one of the promises I have for you.
Hallelujah.